water flows as instruments of creativity and transformation. Without this word was nothing made. Join God's servant, Sonny E. Oluide, as it brings you into the reality of God's knowledge with utmost simplicity and clarity.
Thank you for strengthening our spirit, man. Thank you for transforming our mind. Thank you for strengthening our mother's body. In this meeting tonight, we trust you that you will grant us grace to comprehend you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for doing it for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's have our seats. We are welcome to today, hour of process for progress. I will share with us briefly today the secret of all greatness. The secret of all greatness. The secret of all greatness. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29. See thou a man diligent in his business. See thou a man diligent in his business. He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. Can we have another translation? Proverbs 22, verse 29. Give us energy.
NLT. Do you see any truly competent workers?
Do you see truly any competent worker?
They will serve kings rather than working for ordinary people.
They will serve kings rather than working for ordinary people. Today, God will shoot your life up. The Almighty God by His grace will build you up and deliver unto you an inheritance in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, do you see a man competent in his work or in his business or in his calling? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before ordinary people. So the secret of all greatness is in knowing what to do with time. Is in knowing what to do with time. Is in knowing what to do with time. Life does not give you what you want, but life gives you what you are. If you build up yourself to a level in life, the level of your build up within will determine what life will offer to you. Life does not give you what you want, but life gives you what you are. Note that very well. This man, he said, do you see a man who has invested all the time he has to perfect his gift, to perfect his calling? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before ordinary people. Friends, I want you to know that everything needed for you to become great has been given. Now, I will cite this illustration that if they credit your account daily, every one of us daily, with $86,400 US dollar every day, but by 12 a.m. or 11:59 p.m., you can't use it again. Then by 12 a.m., they credit your account again with $86,400 every day. But the law is it. What benefits you is amount you are able to use or utilize out of that $86,400. So the one you could not make use of, when it is 11:59 p.m., you don't have anything to do with it again. This $86,400 is the amount of seconds that God gives to you daily. Is the amount of seconds God gave every individual equally 86,400 seconds of time every day. So what you do with yours determines what becomes of your life. What to do with your 86,400 second of time determine what becomes of your life. The rich have money. The wealthy have time. So the difference between a failure and a successful person is in what they do with their time. Don't forget this. Do not forget this. So, do we have anyone who has 23 hours in a day? Not at all. God is not a respecter of person, so he distributed 86,400 seconds to everyone, to every individual who lives on the surface of the earth. So those who know what to do with their time, they became great. Those who does not know what to do with their time, they become whom they are. But I want to assure you, as we put this principle to work, you will be rated among the great. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we talk of greatness, we talk about fulfilling your God-given purpose. Fulfilling your God-given purpose. Remember, I said, life does not give you what you want, but God, life gives you what you are. See thou a man. Do you see a man who is competent, who is diligent, who utilizes all the times he has, converting those times into added value to himself? Or into producing a product of value. So the secret of all greatness is in knowing what to do with time. That is by converting your time into a product of value. If you will do this, there is no height that God cannot take you to. The poor waste their time. The average spend their time, the rich invest their time. For you to be competent in your calling, for you to perfect your gifting and your calling, you need to learn the secret of conversion, of time conversion. Your ability to convert your time into added value to yourself is what distinguishes you among men. And I'm sure that everyone desires greatness. Everyone desires to be successful. But this is what the successful people do. They don't joke with their time. They always invest their time. Time is so precious. One thing with time, the bad news about time is this. It flies away. The bad news about time is this. It flies away. The good news about time is that you are the pilot. So you have the right to direct your time to where, to any direction you want to go. The bad news about time is it flies away. But the good news about time is that you are the pilot. You are the pilot. There is no calling that is greater than others. Your ability to convert your time, your ability to invest your time into perfecting your gift and calling is what will make your gifting or your calling to become valuable and to bless people. I pray that God will give us understanding. 86,400 US dollar of seconds we waste every day. Every day. I read the story of everyone who has made meaningful impact on the planet Earth. What all every one of them focus on is time. 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 Very powerful. Some sleep away their time, some while away their time, but some are busy investing their time. Investing their time. Investing their time. Knowing that when the time passes, you can't get it again. If they steal your money, you can get it. But when the time goes, you can't find it again. So wake up. Utilize your time. Invest your time. Convert your time into added value to yourself. You need to invest your time to increase your earnings. You need to invest your time to increase your earning ability. You need to invest your time to increase your learning ability. Your earning, any ability is your learning. The more you learn, the more you earn. When you increase your learning, your earning will increase. When you increase your learning, your earning will increase. When I talk of earning, I'm not talking about any money alone. If you want to earn respect, you want to earn fame, you want to earn influence, then you must learn to add value to yourself every second, every minute, every hour. And every day. We have 60 seconds. 60 seconds make 1 minute. 60 minutes make 1 hour. 60 hours, I mean 24 hours make 1 day. If we multiply 60 seconds times 60 minutes, then you multiply it by 24 hours. You will get 86,400 amount of seconds every day that God gives you. My question is that, what do you do with your time? What do you do with your time? Let this question register into your consciousness from tonight, from today, that time is the greatest resources that God gives to everyone equally. What to do with your time? Determine your earning here on earth. I pray that God will give us understanding. I pray that God will release grace upon our life to utilize our time into the area of our calling in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so shall it be. In Jesus' name. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. We thank you for the opening church. We'll go straight to the questions and answers session. Beginning with the questions we have with us here. So this person is saying, I've never spoken in tongues. I've fasted and prayed, desiring to speak in tongues. I've even prayed in faith, sincerely from my heart. My other brothers and sisters speak in tongues. What is my own problem?
Your problem is unbelief. We have a material with us here. Maybe after the meeting they will give you. Must every Christian speak in tongues? It's a pamphlet, you can finish it in a day. Speaking in tongues, I think one of the challenges we have, that many of us have, is that the syllable or the syllable that comes, you are thinking that if we say this, what will people say? The Holy Ghost gives the utterance, you do the speaking. And the speaking is by faith. You utter whatever is placed in your spirit. That is it. That is just it. The challenges of that person is that he's resisting what the Holy Ghost is placing. In the sense that the person wants to understand what he utters, which is not what God said about speaking in tongues. No man understanding him, albeit in the spirit, he speaketh mystery. I think they should project for us 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's read verse 2, 3. Yeah. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. He's a mystery. Just utter whatever syllable that comes to you. Just keep uttering it. He supplies the utterance. The Holy Ghost supplies the utterance. You utter the utterance. In the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost first came upon them, they were give us Acts chapter 2, verse 4. I believe the person is getting blessed now.
Yes, sir.
And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit gave the utterance, you begin the speaking. Holy Ghost will not speak for you. He gave you the utterance, you do the speaking. Thank you.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much. We have the caller on the line. Are you with us?
Yes.
It's okay. Introduce yourself and then go to your question straight.
I do again. After I've fasted and I've prayed that God should guide me and lead me on the purpose of my creation, and see, I've not gotten any real direction towards that. Even after waiting for some time and still no direction, no clear instruction of this is what I should do or this is my call. So what else can I do?
What can you do?
That is my question.
Thank you very much. Actually, the purpose of God you are desiring has been placed in your heart since God created you. You are the one to locate it. It's actually there within your spirit, man. What you love doing, what you find it so easy to do, whether they pay you or not, is an indication to your calling. What you hate most is an indication of what God wants you to correct. What you love most is an indication of what God wants you to establish. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9 speak of Jesus. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now, what Jesus loved is what he came to establish. What Jesus is what he came to destroy. Now, what I will encourage you and advise you is that whatever you love doing, irrespective of how insignificant it looks like, begin to do it. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Talks of Jeremiah. So let you know that, but what's the point I want to bring out here is this. Before you were formed, God knew thee. And before you were born, he has already placed in you the reason for your existence here. Then Proverbs chapter 25 verse 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. So God conceal your vision and your purpose within you, but you search it out. If you are born again, I want to assure you, even this day, you will hear it. You will see it. Amen. You will understand it.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Sir, a question here says, is it biblical that God can reveal certain cure for a certain illness or pandemic to his children?
Yes, it's possible. It is possible. Thank you.
Okay, sir. I want to believe the person might want to know how.
How?
How will God reveal certain things concerning illness or pandemic?
You see, the solution, the cure of it, the cure of every sickness and disease is Jesus Christ. That's the revelation I know. There is no sickness and disease he cannot cure. And he granted every believer power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Matthew chapter 10 verse 1. Jesus Christ is the healer. Yes. But for anyone to escape sickness and disease, that person must be a child of God. Even some God's children need healing. But God's sons have healing. Am I communicating now? God's children need healing. Because they are babies, they don't know they are right from left. But God's sons have healing. Do you understand the point? Eh? Because we have the healing mechanism within us. But until you know it, that's where growth and maturity is needed. So, any other thing you need, I've had a brother was strongly attacked one day, and immediately, as he was praying, God just tell me, go and buy watermelon and eat. And as long as I ate more, that was the end of it. That's simply what end is. Go and buy watermelon and eat. And he went. But to unbeliever, they need medication. Yes. Because they cannot accept the word of God. They need external things that they can eat. They can chew, they can swallow, they can drink to make them cure. But I want to tell you, there is no healing medicine. The only medicine I know is Christ Jesus. Thank you very much.
Is it spiritually correct that someone with a disjoint bone should go to hospital for cure or healing?
You said?
Yes, maybe dislocation.
Yeah. You say, is he what?
If such a person should seek medical attention.
Is he a sin? Is that a sin? Based on your faith, that's where your faith is. Go ahead. Yes. You see, I said something. I said, every child of God has healing mechanism within. But until we know it. We have many people today, even they are over 30 something years in ministry or in as a believer, yet they took medication. So go to where your spirit directs you to go.
This question is talking about whether God kills.
Whether God
kills. And now a reference is made to death of infants.
Okay.
Why should an infant die?
Why should an infant die? There are many things that contribute to death. It could be carelessness. Yes. It could be carelessness. But God doesn't kill. God doesn't kill people. What God does is that if someone is not in the right channel, God may allow the devil to do what he wants to do. But God is not a killer. Satan is a killer. God is a life giver. Let me read a scripture for you that will back it up, please. John chapter 10. Verse 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So, God is a life giver. Satan is a killer. So, when somebody dies, whether infant or not, don't ascribe it is God that killed the person. God is not a killer.
Thank you very much, sir. So, what is the difference between discerning and perceiving?
Or perception.
Yes, perception from perceiving.
Discerning.
Discern and to perceive.
Okay. There are two different things there. Discerning is a spiritual, is a manifestation of the spirit. While perception is not. That supernatural ability that the Holy Ghost manifests through a person to see into the realm of the spirit. To discern what kind of spirit is in operation per time. That's discerning. But perception is an urge. God just ministers something to you now. It could be when you are sitting down. It could be but discerning until you are in action. Yes. Maybe somebody is singing. Or maybe they are in worship. Until you are in action. The manifestation of the Holy Ghost happens when you are in operation. But perception can happen anytime. That's the difference.
And then, sir, how can one have the spirit of discerning?
The spirit of discerning is not what to have. It's what the Holy Ghost gives you per time based on your area of calling. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 11. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with us. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But, look at the conclusion. But all this worketh that one and the same spirit, dividing to everyone, every man, severally as he will. The manifestation of the Spirit of God is for the profit of people. And it is the Holy Ghost that gives to everyone as the Holy Ghost will, not as the believer will. You may desire it. It may not be what he will to give you. But one thing I know is that any area of your calling, the manifestation of the Spirit is there. Whenever the need arises. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. It's okay. I think you've answered the question, because the person went further to say, should I focus my discernment on the Word of God only or include the secular world?
It all depends on your area of calling.
Yes, sir. Okay, what does it mean to love God?
To love God means to keep His commandments. First John.
It's okay, sir. Before we continue with that answer, let's have somebody on the line.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Matthew from the line. I'm having a question related to baptism. I know that baptism should be one, especially if it's by immersion. Recently, I've come across a member. They will request such in their church in their own way, irrespective of the fact that the fellow has undergone baptism by immersion. So I was somehow taken back by this development. And I really want to know, beyond my own level, what is the position of Scripture concerning this development?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. There is no infant baptism in the Bible. Baptism by immersion into water is symbolism of the dead, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's just a sign, it's a symbol that Jesus died your death. When he died, you died. When he was buried, you were buried together with him. And when he was raised from the dead, you were raised together with him. Only born again child of God is qualified to be baptized by immersion. Is there any infant that are born again? So where did they see it from? Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The first thing is that they repent. You must accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You must accept Him as your exchange. Now, to now publicly declare what He does is for you. Do not go into water by any qualified or elderly person in faith. That's why the moment they take you to the water, they dip you, they say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. They dip you into the water and they raise you again. That is it. But the person that needs to be baptized by immersion must know the reason why he's doing that. That the reason is that you are dead. It's only dead person that they can bury. That's why they have to dip them in water and they raise you up. It's a symbol of what Jesus has accomplished for us. That's just a simple one. But infant baptism is not biblical. There's nothing like that in the Bible. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Back to our question on loving God.
Uh-huh. To love God is to keep His commandments. And His commandment is not grievous. 1 John chapter 5 verse 3, quickly. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. There, 1 John chapter 2, let's read verse 3 and 4. And hereby we do know that we know him, he will keep his commandments. He that said, I know him and keepeth not his commandment is a liar, and the truth is not in him. To love God is to keep God's commandment. And the commandment of God is eternal life. To keep that life. To keep meditating on that life. To keep thinking of that life. Then, to express the manifestation of that life to others. That is, doing good for other people. That's God's love. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 20 and 21. If a man say, I love God, and he hated his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. That's it. To love God is to show kindness to people. To love God is to do good to everyone you can find. That's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. While we're asking this question, I want to indulge those of us that are here present. If you have questions, be ready with your question that you might ask directly. Why are men scared of counseling when it comes to marital issues?
Because of their unfaithfulness. Because of their impure agenda that they have. Simple. Huh?
Okay, we'll take some questions from online.
Sister, when God creates man from the beginning, he gives him life. Then why are we talking about eternal life again?
Yeah, because the life that God gave the first man, Adam, was corrupted by the devil. That life was corrupted by the devil. That was the reason why Jesus came. To go and evacuate that life in order to give us the real life. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45, quickly.
Question online.
Okay.
What's your name and where are you calling from?
Okay, my name is Desha. I'm calling from Lagos.
From Lagos. This was your question.
Okay, my question, I want to ask about the life of Joseph. Because I remember that he talked about the will of God. And I want to ask, that he told us that part of the will of God for Joseph is to go to prison and his slavery as well. So the question I want to ask is, how do you know that maybe a particular challenges you are passing through is part of the will of God for you in order to prepare you for where you are going to, or is a radical attack suggest to delay? So how do we identify between the situation that is orchestrated by the will of God and the one that is orchestrated by the demonic attack?
How can we know that? Because Joseph passed through some process,
yeah.
And that time it looked like what he's passing through is the will of God for him to get to where he's going.
Yeah.
You say, now how can we know that what he is passing through now is the will of God when he's passing through some dangerous thing? Or how will he know that what he's passing through now is it the will of God or not for his life? Is with reference to how Joseph passed through his own.
Are you Joseph? Hallelujah. The first thing you know is that I don't really know what you are passing through. But the one of Joseph we read in the Bible, he had a dream. The brother castigated him because of his dream. The vision that God gave him that he shared with them. And unknowing to them, as they were busy castigating him, pushing him away, they were actually pushing him to where he will manifest. He will manifest the visions to be manifested. But the story of Joseph and your own now, because I only know the vision you have captured from the law, and I don't really know what you are passing through. So for me to start asking or to be talking now without knowing, I will be doing legal business. But if fully you have conceived a vision from God, the next thing you do, receiving a vision from God is not enough. You must know the place of manifestation. It is your duty to ask. Because when God created Adam, he placed him in the east of the garden. So, vision are to follow by place of manifestation. Location has to be known. It is your duty to ask for the location. Because when you get to the location where your vision will find expression, you will be accepted. Because the moment Joseph got to Egypt, he was accepted. He was accepted in the house of Potiphar. He was accepted in the prison. And when he got to prison, they never treated him as a prisoner. To tell you that God was with him, anywhere he went, things was working for him. Now, because his vision is not to find manifestation or an expression in his homeland, the brother has to kick him away from that place when he shared the vision with him. So receiving a vision from God without getting to the right location may be dangerous. It could be that because you are not in the right location could be the problem. I will stop here.
Thank you very much, sir. You were trying to talk about the scarcity in attending to marital counseling.
Yes, I say if somebody, okay, like now, a spiritual leader, for instance, somebody is afraid of coming there to seek for counseling. It means the person has an evil agenda. You know, there are many ways of catching all these things going on. But one thing that God has given me grace to do is that if you come, because I know that your intention is evil. What I do is that, Lord, if it is not your will, scatter it. You just say that relationship has scattered. I know where it scattered. And I know where it scattered. I won't tell you that this is not the will of God for your life. I will go on my knee. If this relationship is not of you, scatter it. You see, one way or the other, the thing scattered. I don't see reason why. We've met many cases like that. Many, many cases like that. Even in this land where we are. For that reason, many people, they want to do their wedding. Some of them, they will have their own busy day and just print the card. They say, it's okay. Since that's what you decide. Because anything that is light always comes to light. But anything that is hidden, you don't want anybody to see it. So that's why I say it's because of the hidden agenda. If somebody wants to get married to his sister, he doesn't want counseling. Maybe they are made it. Perhaps they are not of the same church. Now it's okay, let's go and meet my pastor. I say, no, I can't go there. And it's an indication that is dragging you somewhere. If I'm that lady or that sister, I won't marry such a person. Because if we run away from my spiritual leader, you will run away from my God. So you just want to get what you want and begin to show me your recolor. Such person, when you say, let's go to meeting for prayer, he will not come. So it's an indication. You don't need any prophet to tell you that person has an agenda. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, sir.
That was a question that was asked for the process of answering the call came in. Why do we, when God created man, he gave him life? Why do we talk about eternal life? The first life was corrupted by the devil. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 45. 1 Corinthians 15, 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit, made a life-giving spirit. Verse 46, quickly. How be it? That was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth. The second man is the Lord from heaven. You see the way he atomized it. Because what Jesus came to do was spell out in Psalm and in Hebrew. In Hebrew chapter 10 verse 9. I come in the volume of your book, of the book to do your will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. And we have found out in that 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 45 that the first man is Adam. Adamic nature was corrupted. He has no access to God anymore. Satan took advantage and took the key of authority from him and all of this. Life became a mess up. The first tragedy that happened is that the elder one killed the younger one of the same parent. To tell you that there's no good thing about that life. So God needs to redeem that life. He has to send Jesus to go and terminate that life in order to give us the real life. That's why he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. He that is born of the flesh is flesh. He that is born of the spirit is spirit. So that's it. If the life is not corrupted, then there will be no need of them. You will realize that after that corruption, God sent Adam and Eve out of the land of promise, out of garden, of the Garden of Eden. And then they began to struggle. Struggle is not part of human being. Work is not struggling. Working is exercising to bring out the potential of God that is in you. Not struggling. But struggling, some have no direction. Anything goes. If they call here, something is happening here, they run there. Something is happening there, they run there. No, that's not the best way to live life. So that's the reason why eternal life is God's nature. But the life that Satan corrupted from Adam became eternal death. That's why I say, he that sinned, the soul that sinned shall surely die. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Sir, why is it that life will not give us that which we want,
yeah,
but that which we are?
Yes. You attract what you are. You attract what you are. The person that loves to do good to others, no matter what you do to him or her, he keeps doing it. Because what is inside is what is calling him for to do what he's doing. So life does not give us what we want. Many of us want to be rich, want to be wealthy, want to be great.
Sorry, sir, we have to fall on the line.
Thank you.
Okay, this is Matthew. This is Matthew calling from Ibadan.
From Ibadan. Thank
yeah.
you. What's the question?
Please, as a follow up to my initial question.
Okay.
I still need further clarification concerning my initial question.
Okay, about the okay, issue of baptism?
Yeah, about the issue of baptism.
Baptism, all right.
If somebody that is a truly child of God follow all the procedure and then even the baptism, the fellow was the one that requested for it based on the conviction in spirit when he met with the Lord, and then he has all the evidence, he newly born again in short. And upon changing of location, try to ask the Lord, okay, which of the church to join, and then got a leading that okay, go to this church. And upon arriving at the place, the man said, okay, we are going to accept you to be part of our workers, but you have to redo the baptism.
You have to redo the baptism that you have done before.
Yes, okay. because he was not a member of their church. The baptism was not done in their church. I know it's what is happening. Okay. So in that instance, what was the position of the preacher? And more so, mind you, it was the Lord that led him to join that church. Yeah. And also, let me go down a little bit so that we're able to tackle one and for all.
Yeah.
And before having that call to come and receive baptism, because maybe the pastor, he was the pastor in that nature that invited him, I have to come for baptism, he wants him to become worker. And that very day, he had a dream that he was invited for NYC, Youth Call Service again. And in that dream, he went to the place for documentation. He was happy when he was informed. Then he now went to the place of documentation to register for that. Because it was somewhere that told him that, okay, you are in a listed. So, when man thought of it, but he has passed before, is he not a criminal of them to do a youth call service?
Well, in a nutshell, as you said, brother, please, because of time, what you really want to know now is that a God directs someone to a church, and when he gets to that church, though he was invited, and the pastor of that church wants him to be rebaptized again, and you really want to know is what is the Bible stand?
Meanwhile, if you're newborn again, that's my question.
Sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Sir, there was the position of the scripture.
That is, what is the position of the scripture to know? Somebody is born again and has been baptized before, but God directed him to a church, and the pastor of that church said he has to be rebaptized. Then you want to know what the position of the Bible passage is or scripture concerning that matter. Thank you, Bro Matthew. We'll soon get the answer now.
But the question is that, did he explain to the person, to the pastor, whether he has been baptized before or not? If yes, and the pastor still insists, he should follow the pastor for the baptism. Yes.
Sir, but a follow-up question to this.
Okay.
You are baptized. For instance, the two thieves on the cross.
Yeah.
The one Christ says is with him in paradise today. Does baptism, what role does baptism play in one's life as far as eternity is concerned?
It's earthly declaration. It's earthly declaration that you die together with Christ, you were buried together with him, and you were raised together with him.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much. So you were on the process of answering the question. Life does not give us what we want, but
what we are. Yes. Now, if you see three persons in the same office doing the same work, for instance, they start the same work, they start working in the organization on the same day. After a year or two, the interest of the boss goes to one, the one that is so efficient among them, and he decides to raise the salary of that one more than others. What do you think that he has caused that? That person has developed himself, added more value to himself than the others. So, life gives you what you are, not what you want. Everyone wants to be earning, let's say, 2 million every month, for instance. But do they offer a service that qualifies them to earn that money? The answer is no. You see, some persons today, they decide their salary. When they are going to any organization, they say, this is the amount I'm going to pay. They are going to pay him. If they are not going to pay, they are not ready to work. And because the organization knows the value and what is coming to heart to them, they have no option to agree with the staff. Yes, others are writing application. Let's just get a place to start working. What is the difference? values. It's value. So the more value you add to yourself, the more life will give to you.
Thank you very much, sir. The next question says, how can I pilot my time?
By investing your time. By converting it. By channeling it to your purpose. To your calling. You must be conscious that time is life and life is time. No matter how anointed or gifted a person is, if he does not invest his time judiciously to perfect his gifting or calling, I tell you, he can't fulfill it. That is it.
Okay, thank you very much, sir. Still on infant baptism. Somebody says, if an infant is not baptized and the infant dies, where will he or she go? Heaven or hell?
I don't know.
Please. What is the right age for a child to be born again?
The right age for a child to be born again? I believe when a child knows it's left from right. If we have a child, the moment a child starts talking, start introducing Jesus to that child. Yes. Do you know a 2-year-old child know how to abuse? Is that true? Is it true? Yes. Now, instead of a child to keep learning abusive language, if you quickly inculcate and show that child, even though the child didn't understand what you are showing to her, you are simply introducing that child into something. Do you get the point now? What does it mean to be born again or to accept Jesus? You confess that he is your Lord and Savior, and you believe that he was raised from the dead for your justification. Teach your children from age 2 upward.
Thank you very much, sir. This person wants to know, from creation, God has blessed man.
Yeah.
So where is the place of poverty and sickness?
Oh, that's good. Poverty and sickness came in when Satan corrupted the man. You will see in Genesis chapter 3 when that high treason was committed. In chapter 4, the first murder happened. Cain killed Abel. The first envy was sin. Because God accepted Abel and his suffering, and rejected Cain and his suffering, he envied him and moved ahead to kill him. Who is at work at that moment? Satan. But in Christ Jesus, when you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are restored back to that Edenic experience. But the blessing, they are all spiritual. It is your duty to bring them from spiritual to physical. That is how it works.
Thank you very much, sir. What kind of services does God reward?
Faithful service. Faithful service. That is service that is full of understanding. That's what you are doing willingly. You know this is right and you are doing it willingly. Whether they appreciate you or not, but God rewards our service. Not eye service. Not as men please us. Let's go to that Ephesians chapter 6. From verse 4 now. And ye, Father, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Verse 5. Servants. That service now. Be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Active service. That you are volunteer to do it. And you are not expecting any reward from the human being you think you render the service to. You expect the reward from God. Move on to verse 7 and 8. With good will, can you see now? With good will. With good will, doing service as to the law and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the law, whether he be bond or free. Faithful, willing, and active service. It's not the service that you are compelled to do. Thank you.
This question says, what do I do on daily basis to be great in the sight of God?
Discover the purpose of God for your life and convert your time to perfect it. Simple.
How do I know what God wants me to become?
By asking Him what He wants you to become.
How do you ask?
You ask God the reason for your existence. And He will show you. Give us Hebrews chapter 6, please. Verse 17 and 18. Hebrews chapter 6. Quickly. I see verse 17. Okay. We are in God. You see now. Willing. More abundantly to shew unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed by an oath. God is more willing to make it known to you the purpose for your life that you are even willing to know. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who are fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Verse 17 says, willing, God is more willing. Do you know the challenge we have today? There is a structure that we challenge we want to be before we even go to God. Even when God is not telling, this is my will for you, they won't listen. That's the problem. By the grace of God, we can't say many. Because God's will for anyone initially does not look attractive. Does not look like it. It's always different from your own aim and objective. Because when God will show you, make known to you His will for your life, He has to come through interruption. Maybe somebody is planning to go, to travel abroad, to go and stay there and remain there and do something to enjoy life and all of it. God said, no. Go and carry microphone. How did it look like anything like that? Yes. By the grace of God, I that I'm talking to you today, I know we are going to interrupt him and how he does it. I just have to obey because I have no option. I want his will to be done in my life. So when I see people today pursuing ambition, if I'm to tell you the level I got, you will know that God is the Almighty God. And one thing with God, God does not force anybody. He will just say, this is my will for your life. If you like. Yes. It's only Satan that says you must. God does not by force anybody. I wish you. Do you remember Jonah? What is God's will for his life? Go to Nineveh. Because he has enough money, where did he go? Went to Tarshish. And having brought him, passing through all the rigors at the end of the day, when God now finally brought him, when he repented. God now talked to him in Jonah chapter 3 verse 1. Give me Jonah chapter 3 verse 1. You see something there. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, verse 2 now, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. You know, sometimes after 1 year, because you are in a place or you are doing what God wants you to do, and nothing is coming out, you go again to preach. You are not expecting another week. It will still show you continue. Do you get the point? So, but you know, because of the, you know, the society today are very, very wonderful. Maybe where your friends are, your mates and all of the where they are, you are not there yet. And you are thinking that maybe the way you are going, you may never arrive there. These are the things that make people not to accept God's will. Very, very simple. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. My problem or the question here is, how can I overcome the spirit of fornication? And if God can help me to overcome, can He forgive me after my several confessions of sin, of fornication, and other sins?
1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us. That's number one. How do I stop? By knowing, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8 verse 1 and 2. It is knowing, it is in knowing what God, what Jesus has done, what he did to that nature, as to keep accepting that, then what it did to that nature beginning to find expression in us. Our challenge today is that we don't really think of what God has done for us. We only hear it. And there is a process. What is that process? You hear what God said. You think what God said. Then you speak what God said. I think the major challenge is in that thinking. Because as you are thinking of what God said He has done for you, then you are absorbing it. And you will become what you think. And you will have what you see. There is no big deal about that. In fact, before you committed an offense, God has already forgiven you. Let's say for instance, a child misbehaved at home. Did the parent disown the child? What did he do? He think, talk to him again. Don't do it like this. If the child finally asks, okay, my father, tell me how to stop this. And he explained, and he followed that principle. Will he not stop it? He will stop it. But one thing I want you to know is maturity. You see that child now that came, just going to the father and doing all this funny, funny thing. If he's up to 10 years, will he try that? Why? What he's doing, is he right? Why don't you knock his head? That's the stage he is. Did I make that child now not to be the son to the father again? No. So that's it. One thing I know is that you cannot keep yourself from falling. It's God that will keep you from falling. Knowing that He is the one to keep you from falling is what will make you not to fall. Knowing that He is the one to keep you from evil. Give us 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Chapter 3 verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. He is faithful. who shall establish you and keep you from evil. That in Jude verse 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You see now, it's him. So if you not throw yourself to him that, okay, the life you carry is his life. What happened to your old life is finished. How do I get my life out of that life to not allow this new life to be established? That is where constant knowing, constant hearing, constant thinking, and constant speaking. Romans chapter 6 verse 6. Knowing this, you know, knowing, it's a continuous knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. He that is dead is freed. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Verse 11. Reckon ye yourself to be dead indeed unto sin. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Reckon in me, account. Take inventory. Account yourself that what Jesus did was for you. That is it.
Thank you very much, sir. Is it a sin or good to insult Jesus? If so, should one kill the person because Goliath insulted God? That is why God sent David to kill him. So if someone insults God, should we kill the person?
It's all right.
Wonderful question.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you for that question. It's a wonderful one. But let me tell you, what Jesus said is what we should follow. How many of us remember that when they arrested Jesus, he removed sword and cut off somebody here? What did Jesus told him? Let's move quickly to chapter 18, John 18, verse 11. No, let's read from verse 9. Sorry. That the same might be fulfilled, which he spake of them, which thou gavest me up. Have I lost none? Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Verse 11. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath, the cup which my father had given me. Shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. Then chapter 26, Matthew 26, from verse 44 now. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he his disciples and said unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. 46 quickly. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doeth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12 came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staffs from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now, he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hey, master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. So if you are fighting for God today and you are killing people, he said you shall be killed also. This is what God said. Killing human being like you is unscriptural, is unbiblical, is demonic, is satanic, is devilish. Allow God to fight the battle. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. How does one know a true prophet from God? Because I discovered these days everybody is a prophet.
To know a true and genuine prophet is clearly spoken of 1 John chapter 4 from verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it shall come. And even now, already, is it in the world. Is that your Bible? How do you know? When you see any prophet whose message is not centered on Jesus Christ, is a fake one. Deuteronomy chapter 18, from verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken or listen. Verse 15. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. Verse 18. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto me, unto thee, and we put my words in his mouth, my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Can you say true prophet? He doesn't speak anything that God did not command. He doesn't speak dreams. I will raise them up. No, the next verse quickly, we have read it. Verse 19 now. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. For the prophet, look at it, but the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die.
Is that your Bible?
No, okay, no. And if thou say in thy heart, how shall we know, and how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord had not spoken. But the prophet has spoken in presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 28 and 29. The prophet that had a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that had my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the shaft to the wheat, saith the Lord? Verse 29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Verse 30 now. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophet, said the Lord, that see my ways, everyone from his neighbor. Let's stop there. Let me tell you the truth. The foundation of the apostle and prophet is Jesus Christ. And in the New Testament, hear this again. All the people that God called in the New Testament, the only message he gave them to go and share with people is go and share the gospel of Christ. Do you hear it? This is it. Any prophet that is centered, his objective, his aim, is not centered on Christ Jesus. He's a fake one. More than fake. I don't need an apology to that. I dream. I did this. Excuse me. He didn't say go and show them dream. Go and show them Christ. Christ is the center focus. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. This person makes reference to Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, and Revelation 13, 10. He says, if someone kills a Christian, can the family of the Christian retaliate? If not, what about these passages?
Which passages did you refer to, please?
Genesis 9:6.
Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. What did he say? He said, whosoever take a man's life, by sword shall his life be taken. Do you read it very well? Whoso shed man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. Listen. Whosoever. Did he say, when you see somebody shed blood, did he say man against you go and shed the blood? Is it you that you go and shed somebody's blood? Are you ordained to be shedding blood? The next verse was quoting from Revelation. Go there.
Revelation
13:10. Yeah, oh yeah, let's read it. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Did he say he that killeth with the sword should be killed with the sword by the saints? Did Jesus shake Peter's hand by cutting somebody here? Huh? Is it not in the commandment that thou shalt not kill? Who is the killer in the Bible? The devil. Satan. Do you know why we were even many God children today are being overcome? It's lack of understanding and knowing God. How many of you were in the meeting yesterday? The meeting we had there yesterday. Very wonderful meeting. How many of you know your dwelling place now? In your dwelling place, are you internally defended? Are you preserved?
Thank you, sir. An online question. What does it mean to believe?
To believe is to have. To believe is to have. John chapter 6 verse 47. To believe is to have. He that believeth hath everlasting life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. To believe means to have. If you believe on Jesus, you have the life of Jesus. To believe is to have. And to have is to speak what you believe. He shall have whatsoever he say. So to believe is to have, and to have is to speak what you believe. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. How do I do away with fear?
With fear. By doing away with fear. By knowing. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou fear of the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. He hath not. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. You must know that the spirit of fear is not part of what God gave you. So when fear comes, rebuke the fear. Then the fear will fear away. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We say Christ lives in us.
Yes.
Why did he live in us?
To continue his work.
And then we are made to understand that Jesus died on the cross.
Yes.
Why did the soldier kill him on the cross?
For your sake. For our sake. For our sake. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, that he must be killed. Is a fulfillment. You know, the death of Jesus on the cross of Calvary is a fulfillment of the scripture. For our redemption, for our liberation, for our deliverance. For us to have his life, our life has to be taken. His death was the termination of our lives. Why his restoration was the importation of his life into us. Romans chapter 4 verse 25. Who was delivered all because of our offenses and was raised again from the dead for our justification. I say 25, I didn't say 5. Romans 4:25. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. How do you know God is speaking to your spirit?
It confirmed in the word of God. You will have peace within you. And it will be confirmed. The word of God is a guide to us. Psalm 85 verse 7, verse 8. I will hear what the Lord God will say. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. He speak peace. When God speaks to your spirit man, you are peace. That is a sign that this is the voice of God. And it will be confirmed. So, this will help us. Whenever you hear any voice, what judges it, whether it's God speaking or not God speaking, is the word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12.
I have a question on the line.
Hello.
You are on. Your name and your question.
Yes, I'm Oyeke from Yola, Nigeria.
Your name?
Samuel from Yola, Nigeria.
What's your name?
Yes,
what's your question?
Oyeke from Yola, sir.
Okay. Your question?
Okay, sir. I have a question regarding ministry, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. I must say some of those. Is there any perfect timing for the commencement of public ministry, sir?
Is there any perfect time for pulpit ministry?
Yeah, for the commencement of pulpit ministry.
Okay.
Yes.
Hello, sir.
I'm hearing you.
Yeah, and I said in the event where you know you have a call and you are afraid about the call and see if you're not receiving any direction, especially the location where you should commence a ministry, what do you want to do, sir?
Okay. God call you and you don't know the direction, and now what will you do?
Go into training. The first calling that God call everyone is not to go and do what God tell him to do, is to go for training. Mark chapter 3 verse 13 to 15. The first calling is to call to be trained first before you can manifest. There's difference between the time of calling, different between the time of calling and the time of manifestation. And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. The assignment, the manifestation is under probability. What determines the manifestation of your calling is your fulfillment of training. That they should be with him, and that he might send them to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. So when you receive the call of God, first and foremost, don't look for where to even preach. Go to where to be trained. Go and look for any man of God to attach yourself to and start learning there. And don't tell the man that you have a calling when you get there. Go there that you say you want to be trained. And whatever I tell you to do, just keep doing it. Ask God, who am I to serve under? Where do I need to receive my training? That will help you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. You were about expatiating.
Yes, Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. You will see what the word of God does. Say, for the word of God is living and powerful. For the word of God is quick on living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing, to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Where you know whether it's God talking to you or not is by the word of God. He discerns whether the voice comes to your thoughts or to your mind or it comes to your spirit. That's what the word of God does. Sometimes maybe the all you are, what you think you hear, you may come to a meeting, maybe the preacher or maybe anybody is just preaching, or the preacher is good, and say, oh, this is what is the meaning of that. Or you call anyone that you believe, you ask this, a voice like this, I heard it. What does it mean? The person, God may use the person to tell you. So the word of God is the final.
Thank you, sir. This explanation might have also answered this question. How can I think on what God says?
How can I think on what God says? By thinking on what God says.
The word.
By intention. You must be intentional. You must be deliberate. Because you know, without thinking on what God says, you cannot become what God says. Without thinking on what God says, you cannot even speak it well, with confidence. And without speaking what God says, you cannot have what He says. You must be intentional. Now, Psalm 104, verse 34. You must be intentional. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. Mine. Then Psalm 77, verse 12. I will, you could see now, I will meditate, I will. It's a willing and intentional kind of action. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Psalm 119 verse 148. You will see there. My eye prevents the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. For you to be better than you are now, you must learn the art of meditating on what God said. For you to find 100% fulfillment of your vision here, you must be an addition. In fact, meditating on what God said must be your addition. Yes. Because meditation make you to be like a tree planted by the river of water, whose leaves never wither. And in its season, it brings forth its fruit. And whatsoever it doeth, prosper. Just from 1 verse 1 to 3. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. What does it mean to be rich towards God?
To be rich towards God is that as you give your life to Him, you should know to be rich towards God, first and foremost, is to know that both you and your possession belongs to God. And your ability to release who you are, what you are, and what to have unto God is what qualifies you to be rich towards God. Luke chapter 12, from verse 15 down. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, so thou art much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Verse 21 now. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. When you have anything, all your calculations, nothing goes to God. Salary earner, nothing goes to God from your salary. In fact, in your budget, God is not there. No. To be rich towards God is take God first. In your planning, God first. In your planning, God first. Before you. In fact, the best way to plan, God first, other than you last. That's the meaning of joy. Jesus first, other people, then yourself. When you plan like that and you are fulfilling that plan, then you will have joy. You will be rich towards God. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. What is the significance of going to the mountain to pray, since God is omnipresent?
Yeah.
And if it's indeed significant, does it mean God hears his children better at the mountain than in the house, the church, or in the hotel?
I believe strongly that the time that God, that people go to mountain, they were instructed. In the case of Moses, in chapter 24 of Exodus, it was verse 12. God did not call Moses to mountain. He called Moses to himself in the mountain. You see, when I see some people say, I'm going to the mountain, I know they won't come back with any reasonable thing. But when you say, I am going to God in the mountain, look at this scripture. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me in the mountain and be there. And I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandment which I have written that thou mayest teach them. Can you see now? Number one, going to God on the mountain because God needs isolation to avoid distraction. But Jesus said something when they met the woman of that Samaritan woman. The time is coming. Now is. When people will no longer go and worship in that mountain. You see now. So, whenever you want to go on isolation, you want to avoid distraction so that you can concentrate. You must have an objective. Or, you just want to accomplish something within a period of time and you don't want any distraction. You go to the mountain. May I call anywhere a mountain? But your going to the mountain must be first to go to God. Secondly, you must ask Him an objective. You must be instructed by God. All these things must be there. But today I'm going to Mount Everest on this one. No, no, no. It's good though. There's nothing wrong about that. We go to the mountain, but we go to God in the mountain. But the aim and objective is to avoid distraction.
Thank you, sir. We have some questions here. I'm a policeman and I'm sent by my boss to the main road.
Yes, to collect money.
Collecting the money and giving my boss. If I pay tithe out of it, is it accepted?
Collecting the money and giving your boss, all you steal out of the money you collect. Because if your boss sends you to the road and you collected maybe 15,000, do you really deliver the 15,000 to your boss? Because heaven helps those who help themselves. Revelation chapter 24, verse 5. You see, all of this is not good. You know, one thing I would like us to know, anything you get dubiously, you will reap dubious results, whether you like it or not. Do you remember now? Most people mount the mountain, they won't mount the roadblock at the second point. Many of them were key. The boss that sent them is at home. If it is God's purpose for your life, will it be? That's why we tell everyone, pray to ask and ask God to show you the reason why you are existing. In fact, some people pay price to go to checkpoint. Eh? Is that okay? Yes. They send you to go and collect bribe, and you didn't deliver the amount of money you collected. What assignment is that? Unfaithful and stealing at the same time. All right. Because the money you want to pay time for is you stole it. You didn't deliver completely to your boss. If bribe is legalized, I don't know. If it is a place where it's legalized, and they say your own duty post is to be collecting bribe, collect it. Go and give to your boss exactly all what you collected. If at the end of the day on your way going, if they take, then you take. You say you are, that you know that is the. That's the purpose of God for your life. But don't steal it. That will amount to another struggle. Do you get the point now?
Uh-huh.
You know you are under authority. So authority send you there. So you have to obey authority. But by stealing part of the money you collected, you have disobeyed authority. Thank you.
So I think the person have understood what you are saying.
Okay.
Because the first thing was, he is a believer, and he was sent to the checking point.
That is his duty post.
Okay. That money is collecting, is he right?
Is it the one that wish to collect the money or the duty, the officer telling to go?
The officer.
Yes. You have to. Because that is the law. You have to go. Let's assume that someone is a believer and is a military officer. An enemy are coming to attack their nation and is sent to for the defense of the nation. The higher officer sent me to go and he went there. And they are killing everybody. And he pulled his hand and they kill him. Have you? Why did they kill him in the first place? Because he refused to defend the nation. That is a sin, another thing. Because before he entered, when he signed the form of the to enter the ministry, he said, I will defend my nation. Israel. Abi? I know it's in the form. There's a space there. Whether dead or alive, you are going there to defend your nation. That's what you signed to be. That could be your purpose, it could be not, but I don't know. I'm not one of them. So that's it. So going to the main road to collect bribe, first and foremost, is you are obeying authority. But going to the main road as a junior officer on your own expenses to collect money, that's where you are not doing right. Even though what the authority are doing are not right, that is in the authority. That's the law. That's the law. You have to follow that law. But when you now follow that law, don't let it enter your blood and start stealing from it. So collect it as they send you and go. But when your spirit didn't go, you tell them, say, but I can't go there. So then you are fast, then leave. You must stand that, okay, I can't go there. It's a sin. And your boss may tell you that he has been legalized.
Thank you, sir. I am a lecturer.
Mm-hmm.
And a student happened to fail the course.
Yeah.
Helping that student with some mark to pass that exam and I have internal life, is it right?
If you want to help that child for the purpose of passing, the same mark you give to that child must be given to everyone. You don't want a child to fail. There are many ways of helping a child. But the best way to help a child first is to make sure that you give them the best. And if it happens that the child fails and you want to help the child, then you can give him a receipt. Can be written. There are methods they use today now. You don't need to carry over for 1 year. They have extra semester for those who have receipts. But if you want to help the child, that you want to add CC's mark, add CC mark to everybody. But if you don't want to, if you want to help the child alone, to just give him pass mark, you just want to help him and you didn't add to order, that is where the banner. You are an authority in that place. You decide to say, okay, nobody, you don't want anyone to have carryover. And maybe the least mark is, I don't know, what is the pass mark these days? In our day, it was 40.
45.
45 now. Uh-huh. Maybe the person scored 39. So, to help that child, it's okay now. I am declaring 77 mark bonus. So that everybody will have 46. So that the child will have 46 to help all of them randomly. That's all. If you do that, there's nothing, they'll send it in.
So the scripture says, "Deceive with the spirit." How can I deceive with the spirit?
By being filled with the spirit.
Thank you, sir. How can I maintain my dwelling place?
By maintaining your dwelling place.
As a believer.
By constant knowing. Constant knowing your dwelling place. Constant thinking your dwelling place. Constant speaking your dwelling place.
And then, how can I live all the days of my life with that consciousness of my dwelling place?
By constant knowing.
Sir, with due respect.
Yes, sir.
On behalf of all the youth, tell us, what did you do? What do you do within your time and what is the secret of your success? How do you arrive at this level?
Number one, you need to discover your purpose, the purpose of God for your life, and give yourself all it takes to fulfill it. That's just it. Be a learner on a daily basis. Never arrive at the point whereby you don't need learning. Yes.
Okay, sir. So you taught us that every achievement of Jesus
can be repeated. Yes, sir.
By who and how?
By the Holy Ghost who dwells in you. Every achievement that Jesus accomplished can be repeated because the Holy Ghost came to dwell in us. And the same time Jesus said it. John chapter 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than this shall he do, because I go unto my Father. The Holy Ghost came to dwell in us to continue the works that Jesus did. So your constant yielding to the Holy Ghost, it will manifest himself through your life. That is it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. So somebody is asking whether Adam paid a bride price for the woman that was given.
Whatever cannot be found in the Bible, zero your mind from that. That's an irrelevant question. Because God says it's not good for Adam. Who gave birth to Eve? Who should Adam pay? Is there any woman being exist before then? So forget it.
Okay, sir.
Thank you.
Now it's on forgiveness. The Bible says if we refuse to forgive someone,
yeah,
we kill such a person in our heart. And if we do forgive the person, our Heavenly Father forgives us too. Does it mean that those that kill with the sword or with the knife, they ask God for forgiveness?
Let me tell you, if you kill the whole nation today, and after you do it, you say, Lord, forgive me, he will forgive you and cleanse you.
Sorry, sir, we have someone in the on the line.
No, it's okay.
Okay, the line has cut off. Continue, sir, concerning forgiveness.
Irrespective of your sin, you're asking for forgiveness, he will forgive. But a sinner who has never accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior does not ask God for forgiveness. A sinner doesn't confess his sin. A sinner confesses Jesus as his Lord and Savior. It is believer when they go astray that ask God for forgiveness. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. This person says, can a believer lead somebody to speak in tongues? Or is done only by an ordained or gifted person?
Any believer can do that.
Though you've spoken about this question, somebody is still asking whether God kills. Because in Islam, it's believed that any death, either of young or old, is of the Lord. Please expatiate.
Job chapter 36, verse 5. Behold, God is mighty and despiseth not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom. That's number one. He preserveth not the life of the wicked, but giveth rights to the poor. Then Job 34, verse 12. Yea, surely God will not do wickedly, neither will the Almighty pervert judgment. God does not do evil, but he may permit Satan to do evil to anyone. God is not a killer. He is the life giver. Were you told that when Jesus came, did he kill anybody? And he that has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus said, whoever that has seen him has seen the Father. So what Jesus came to manifested is exactly what God, whom God is. Anything you didn't see that Jesus does in his earthly ministry, don't do it. That is it.
Thank you, sir.
So there's a question here. How often should I speak in tongues?
As often as you can.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Let me show you the scripture there. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Always. And washing thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all sins. Always. Just keep praying. As the Spirit leads you, keep praying. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. But this question says, you say God will fight for himself. What if, in an instance of war, a community is attacked, and it's a Christian community?
All right.
Should they fold their hands and continue to pray and fast while their attackers come on?
Who is a Christian? In a community where church go and dwell. A Christian is a carrier of the personality of the Holy Spirit. If fully that community are genuinely and the Holy Ghost lives in it, before they attack, there should be signal. And the Holy Ghost is capable of defending himself. If fully, genuinely. I'm not talking of church goer. I'm not talking of, okay, this is the denomination I belong to. Do they really understand what Christianity means? Do they really believe that they are carrier of the Holy Ghost? That's it. This is the question. Because all what we see, that when we hear somebody behind is John, different kind of name, we say, this is a Christian. Too late. Did he know who lives in him? Did he know where he lives? What kind of activity did he carry some? In my few years, even in ministry, I've realized that what people do, sky, say Ankali. That's it. So that's it.
Okay, so a follow-up to this question. For instance, the Israelis. Shall I say, maybe if I should say, till tomorrow they are fighting war.
The war they are fighting, is it not saying that they should pursue people out of where it belongs to them? Were you told that all this trend now, as we are talking now, are they all born again? Even as we are talking now. Okay, if we read from Matthew to Revelation, you see anywhere that God gave for instruction, if they slap, you cut off the head. You see that. All the people in the Old Testament, no single person is born again. No. God just covenanted with them that these are my people. But God never dwelt inside of them. That is why I say, in the night, he lead them by the pillar of fire. And in the day by the cloud. Have you? But now he lives in us.
So I am born again. My mother sells alcohol.
Yes.
Locally brewed.
Yes.
And out of the proceeds of the sales, she pays my school fees.
Yes.
My father sent me to also buy alcohol.
Yes.
So, what do I do?
What do you do? Do what the Spirit led you to do. Because you are a child of God, your father sent you to go and buy alcohol. Have you ever prayed? Do you lead your father to Christ? Do you show them the life you carry? Do they see the life in you? Do you behave like somebody who is born again? Do they see you studying or do they see you praying? When they didn't see the answer, they said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. You are born again, even that your father and your mother, you never respect them. If you play your role well, you will live well. How many times have you kneeled down and Lord, as we encounter me, encounter my father and my mother? No.
Thank you, sir. How does one enter into the manifestation of God's prophecies over his or her life?
Yes. See, there are differences between prophecy and principles. When God gives you a word of prophecy, there is a principle that you must follow for the prophecy to come to fulfillment. I don't want us to leave the practical and follow the spectacular. Prophecy that come upon a life is a spectacular manifestation. But practically, there's something you must do based on God's instruction. If you fail to do those things, then the manifestation may not come. That has been the law. Principles, prophecies. Now, the day that a word of knowledge came, met a particular woman, pregnant, just said, buy anointing oil. Just to buy it. Go and buy anointing oil. The man of God said, yeah, we bless it, so that what God showed me is not good concerning the child. After about 1 week or the other, he said, sir, I have one, the one I've been using at home. I said, I said, buy the new one to come. He never did. When the person gave back to that child, was a complete, in fact, less than abnormal. And the child never stayed after 3 days. Now, is he God that does not love that person? Did God not give that person prophecy? But he failed the principle. Do you get the point now? So, principle. If we follow principle, all prophecy will come to pass. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. How old should I be before getting married?
How old should you be?
Before getting married. She's a woman.
How old?
She's asking, of what should be her age? What should be the age of a female or a young girl?
Marry at any age. At least before somebody can say you want to get married, you must get to maturity. Abi, that's not the question. Go to the next question.
Thank you, sir. Sir, John chapter 5 and verse 20.
1 John 5:20.
Yes, 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God is come and has given unto us understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are him that is true. And the person asked a question, how can I have the understanding that I am in him that is true?
You have it already. That's what he has given you. By accepting what he said concerning you. Every child of God has been given an understanding to know. That's what he spelled out there. He said, look at this. And we know that the Son of God is come and has. Not that he will, and has given us an understanding. When I read that, I say, thank you, Lord, for giving me an understanding. I have an understanding to know him that is true. and that I am in him, that is true. Yeah, thank him for that. We have an understanding. That's why I don't pray for understanding. I have. He gave us. I receive. And I thank him for what he has given me. That's all. Eh? I don't pray for understanding. Because he has already given me. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Can I offend the Holy Ghost?
Yes, by grieving him. They grieve not the Holy Ghost. Don't grieve him.
If someone grieves him, how can you get out of it?
And by reconnecting back again. Let's go there now. Ephesians 4 verse 29. Grieve not the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 4 verse 29. Good lady. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. The question is that, how do we grieve the Holy Ghost?
Mm-hmm.
By speaking corrupt words. The answer is there. Let not corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Let's go to 31. Let all bitterness, can you see? When you retain bitterness, you are grieving him. And wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. 32 now. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's all. See, those character mentioned there, they don't allow it to break forth to you. That will grieve him. That he instructed you to do something, you violated it. You refused. He instructed you to do another thing, you refused. Even we, being human, you tell your child to do something and he refused. What happened to you? You are grieved now. But you won't kill the child. You will not disown the child. All you do is that, let the child not disobey me again. So the Holy Ghost does not win it that we should be lost. Thank you. Next question.
Yes, sir. There's a question here, so I will reframe it. Said he's going for a prayer, and there is misunderstanding between him and his wife. And he asked her so that they can settle it. But he did not know whether he settled in his wife's heart. Having known that, so that our prayer will not be hindered. Can his prayer still be hindered? Because he did not know what is in her heart.
The offense he committed, did he ask the wife to forgive? If the wife says yes, I'll forgive you. Even though if the wife refuses to forgive, that is all. His own conscience is clear. Do you get the point? Eh?
Yes, sir.
But to be sure, whether your wife forgives you or not, you have to go to the heart of your wife. And for you to say, you ask your wife to forgive you, you are not sure whether he forgives you or not. It means you too have issue. You are an unbelieving believer. Yeah. Thank you. Next question.
Thank you, sir. So in John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them,
and they follow me.
Mm. The question is that, how can I be sure that I'm following him?
How can you be sure that you are following him? That question is very, very wonderful. By being assured that you are following him. Now, you pick up your Bible, intentionally you read. You pray. You ask him for his will. You ask him for his direction. Even if you don't hear any audible voice, practice what is written. Then that's the way to follow him. by practicing what is written. That is assurance. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. He said, sir, can you explain what it means by spiritual realm?
Spiritual realm is the realm of every believer. The day you accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you are in the spirit. That's the realm. There's nothing there, there's not any special thing there. It's just that your fellowship, your yieldedness to the fellowship with the Holy Spirit is what makes you to know better than the person that is not yielding. Now how do I know this? In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, you are not in the flesh, but you are in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. Now, the question is, who brought him to the Spirit? Because you are accepting him as your Lord and Savior. You don't pray to be in the Spirit. Once you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are automatically in the Spirit. Now, I saw people again saying about some things about there is a porter. Excuse me. Jesus Christ is the porter. John chapter 10, verse 3. Did he say you are in the spirit or you will be in the spirit? To him, the porter opens. Who is the porter? The day you accepted him as your Lord and Savior, what happened to you? Potter. Then you enter into that spirit. Forget about these heresies that fly everywhere. People want to gratify their how much price they paid in the place of prayer and all of this. Read what God said. John the Baptist, the beloved, said, I was in thee on the last day. Holy Spirit is our environment as a believer. You are in the Spirit. You are in the Spirit. My Father, I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Do you see all those scriptures? Automatically, the moment you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are in the Spirit. Yes. You have access to everything that others have access to. But when we are not trained to know what God has freely given to us, we may be running up and down. See? And has raised up us together and made us to see together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Is that your Bible? Ephesians 2:6. You see there. You are not in the flesh, but you are in the spirit. Since the Holy Ghost says you are in me, I believe I am in him. Simple. You get the point now? Before the crucifixion of Jesus, he made a statement in John chapter 14. Let's read verse 19 and 20. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 19 and 20. Yet a little while, and the world fear me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. The question is that, where did he live? Because I live in my Father, you will live in my Father also. Verse 20 answer. And at that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father. And you in me, and I in you. Can you see that scripture? Because I live in my Father, you will live in my Father also. The day you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are automatically in the Father. But when our knowledge is inaccurate, we may think that maybe we are in Anguankata. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. Thank you. Is your question answered? I believe.
Thank you, sir. So my question borders on relationship of a leader and a
followers.
Subordinate.
Okay.
Coming from Gehazi's point of view, I understood him to be somebody that is inquisitive and wants to know beyond certain things. So, was he forgiven?
How?
Because his master, a kind of what he did to Naaman, and his master says, "You've taken the leprosy of of the man." I understood that to be
wickedness.
No. A sort of trying to scold him or punish him. But like in the case of Moses, I was satisfied when at the time of transfiguration, he appeared also there. I said, God said he will not go to the land of Canaan.
Yes.
But yet, he was with Jesus at that time. But Gehazi, what happened to him?
I don't know. We only read what happened to him.
How can we liken it to our today's...
But one thing you have to see, in the day of the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit does not live in them. We have a better covenant which was established upon better promises now. Do you get the point? If a leader and a follower, they are working together, also born it as made in a college, if both of them have the same spirit, they will understand each other. That is just it. They will understand each other. You will see, let's say for instance, if the tone of your leader changed, as a good follower, you should know that something has happened. And if you do what is not right, your conscience prick you that this is right. Do you get the point? So you will see that Gehazi, apart from the father, he went and collected something. When the master asked him, he denied. He lied. Do you notice it? So we saw unfaithful service in Gehazi. He collected it and hid it, and the master knew and asked. He said, "No, I never collected it." Yeah. Did my spirit not follow you? Do you think that if Gehazi has opened and said, "Hey, I'm sorry, sir, I've done this," do you think that that cause will have followed him?
No.
See, let me tell you, for you to enjoy life and to experience honor, irrespective of whom you follow, be open. Be what? Open. Because, let me tell you this. Any honor that follow your leader will follow you if you are open. John chapter 12 verse 26. The challenges we have today is lack of openness. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my father honor. Is that your Bible? Honor, follow. Then, Proverbs 27, verse 18. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waited on his master shall be honored. See it. He that waited on his master shall be honored. It's just because of a lack of understanding. To me, I've served very well, very, very well. Yes. And in all my services, this is it, that's all. In fact, the first place I served for 4 years, any money that comes to that ministry comes to my hand. And I will count it, everything, and give account and everything to him. There was a day that my path of travel were left us and travel. That day, the money that came in, I have no recharge card to call him to give report. I collected someone's number and said, please, sir, I have no recharge card to call him. Please, don't be offended. I quickly just told him, he said, did any money come in? I said, yes. Remove 200 naira and go and buy the recharge card and load and recharge yourself so that you can talk. I didn't just, no, I can't do that. Be open. Just be faithful in whatever you are doing. Circumstances may warrant you not to be faithful. Tell the circumstances, I must be faithful. Faithfulness is what God rewards. I tell you the truth. Do you understand my point now? Be faithful. Like in anywhere we travel, any money they give, I say they should give him. Sometimes I didn't even know that the money. I thought we have a sorcerer. He said, sir, so money is here. I said, when? Say the one you tell me to keep. I said, you mean we see our money? He said, yes. We live like that. You see, this issue of unfaithfulness is something we have to learn very well. Meanwhile, the person dwelling in you is faithful. But because of the kind of unfaithfulness you have inculcated to yourself, where are you? You see some people now. Sorry, we didn't see in the meeting. He will lie. One day I was driving out. I saw a certain disciple. And the certain disciple told me he's going home. We have parted. I never asked him that. What happened? I never talked about it. He's starting in a certain place. The question is that if anything happened to that person, I would think that he has gone home. But he has not gone home. So the relation between the leader and the subordinate will remain cordial if there is faithfulness. Openness. Just be open. Be open. Be open. Because that guy, he will have collect another anointing. What did he collect? He collect something else. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Sir, as a teacher, I'm in a private school, and the management is requesting assistance for our students in an external examination, which is against the examination ethics.
Yeah.
What should I do?
Are you the owner of the school? Are you the proprietor?
No.
If you're not the proprietor, are you the one that requested for that?
No.
And that day, because of your own speech, if he now order you to go and help them to do my practice, you can reject it. That is, I won't. And the highest thing will tell you to leave the school. And before he will tell you, you will have written your resignation and put it in your hand. Yes. Since you are not the one that demand for that. And on that day, say, okay, Mr. or Mrs. Susu, so go and do this. I can't do it. Sorry. I've taught them all I need to teach them. Thank you. I won't go there.
Thank you, sir. According to Ephesians 6:18, must pray always in the spirit, be in tongues.
That's what he said.
And what is prophecy?
What is prophecy?
Yes, sir.
What is prophecy? The testimony of Jesus. Revelation 19, verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not. See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That's prophecy.
Yes, sir. So what kind of prayer delights the heart of God?
The scriptural prayer. What you can find in the Bible, you pray it.
As a minister, can I be in ministry and still run business?
Very well. Depending on your conviction.
Excuse me, sorry, how? Because the disciples of Jesus,
yes,
they follow him. In fact, Peter said, I left all.
Yes.
So if Peter left all,
yes,
and he followed Jesus, and we never heard that he went back,
yes,
can this person concentrate?
Maybe he's the one that wants to do business. Have you? Do you see me doing business?
No, he's asking so that he won't be confused.
That's what I'm telling you. The reason why I don't delight in business is because I want to go far. But the person that receives calling, if it is genuine, and they say I have other business to do, he should go ahead. Am I the one to tell him to stop? No.
He needs counseling.
He needs counseling. If he needs counseling, he will not have started business before he comes for counseling. Do you get the point now? Yes, if you are called by God, be sure that you are called by God and you know what God called you to do. Face it. Face it. But you know, out of 24 hours, you only face your calling 3 hours in a day. You won't perform well. Then you will have reason to jump to another thing. But if you face it with the whole of your heart, as the answer, how do I get to where I am? I face it with the whole of my heart. I have nothing to do than this. And I vow I won't do any business than this. And there is no level that God will not take me to. Yeah. You know, when somebody cannot just ignore immediate satisfaction, what am I going to eat now? Yes. Notice what is killing people. If I do what the word of God says, what am I going to eat? How am I going to travel to Lagos by ear? If you don't have the capacity to travel to Lagos by ear, now can't you go by road? All of these, what make or not to be focused.
Hello?
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have someone on the line.
Okay.
I want to ask.
Okay.
Can I be in ministry and run for
you? You said?
As a minister.
As a minister, okay.
Can I be in ministry and run politics?
Okay, can I be in ministry and run politics?
Yes. Can I be in ministry and run politics? We know how...
You can do it if we are called to go there.
But is this something you said?
Can I be in ministry?
Okay.
Can I be in ministry and at the same time be in politics?
Yes, it's possible. If you are called to be in politics, that's where your ministry lies. But don't say you are in a ministry of something and you go to politics for something else. Daniel was a politician. Daniel was a prophet. But his ministry was fulfilled in the government. It's possible, but be sure that you are called into politics. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We believe you got the answer. This person says, a child that loves handiwork and is good at it, but the parents force the child to go to school and the child is not performing in school.
Yes.
What is the solution?
I believe the parents should understand with the child. As the child is going to school, he should still concentrate on that craft. Why the parent want the child to go to school so that he can have awareness and exposure. You understand? Any knowledge is gathered in that school is part of what he will use to perfect that handiwork. They should understand themselves. You get the point now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Can a wife have a ministry, call into ministry,
yes,
then what should be the role of the husband?
The role of the husband is to, they have to understand each other in the ministry. We have an example like this very great woman of God, just mayor. I think the husband is the administrator of the ministry. Yes. But if we check very well, the husband too will have ministry. Maybe the husband may not be an orator. But whatever ministry that the woman has, he should still have respect for the husband. He should still be taking permission from the husband. That is it.
But sir, the apostles at the upper room, we have, there is women there.
Yeah.
But among the 12 disciples, there is no record of any woman.
That's what Jesus decided to choose.
But other people are called disciples. Yeah. And we never had in the New Testament that any woman has ministry.
Yes.
So how can we justify this with the man being the administrator?
Yes.
Is this picture?
Excuse me. If the woman has a calling to go into ministry and you speak to the husband accepted it, nobody can stop them. If it is genuine, you get the point now. Do you understand my point?
Yes.
We have many women were great that God greatly used. Women like Kitinkuma, the founder of First Christ Church, and all of this. Yeah, they? So that just it's all dependent upon understanding. Because the calling of God has no what? The gift and the calling of God have no. So God can call a woman to a ministry. God, but the husband needs to understand. They must understand with each other. That's the other person.
Thank you, sir. This person says, I am a student and I know my calling. And you say that if we work for 3 hours in our area of calling, we will not do well there.
Yes.
How can I go on with the school work and my calling?
The school work you are doing, as you start the calling, as you set out in calling, the school you are still attending is still part of the training to perfect the calling. Yes. When I say if you work for 3 hours, I didn't refer to a student who has not even started anything. I refer to those who have entered into it. But because of distraction, looking for what to eat, they are busy for nothing. That's it. So, but as a student, you have a calling. Keep your calling. As you keep educating yourself, you are using the education to perfect your calling. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. So, a question here is from a lady that is single and hoping to be married.
Yeah.
And somebody has come around and is not always here again. But anytime another person comes around, my mind is there. It's on the other guy. How do I know that God...
The person that first came, did he accept the person?
Yes, it seems so because...
It seems so. When another person comes, simply say that another person that comes, that someone is there already. That's all.
But the person that comes
has
left.
He has worker?
Yes.
There are no more.
He's no more.
No. It's not that he's long. The person has not show face.
It's because it's not interesting again. It's going. It should confirm. Are you serious? If you are not serious, there's no problem. I go with another one that is serious. You can't kill me and not do another thing somewhere. Say, I want to travel to abroad and spend 6 years. Wait for me, and when I come, I will marry you. Am I sure? Thank you.
My husband gives me money, and another person is in need. And I give it to the needy.
What is the money meant for? That's disobedience of IS or that. When your husband gives you money for a particular thing, use the money for that thing. Please don't cause trouble at home. Thank you. Next.
But in follow-up of this question,
hey-o.
What is the role of a woman in taking care of home?
Of the house?
Yes.
Actually, the woman is the manager of the house.
I'm talking about financially.
A woman has no role to play financially at home. It's the responsibility of the man. If the woman decides to spend anything at home, it's as it's weak. Not, okay, bring those amount, I bring those amount. That's a sign of everlasting poverty on the man. That's a sign of irresponsibility. Husband should provide for the house. What the husband provides in the house, the wife should manage what comes to the house. Thank you. I pay school fees this time, you will pay next time. Are you responsible as a man? Are the children bearing your surname or they are bearing your wife's surname? Where do we get all this? You know, when a man collected Sunday from a man and gets a man Saturday in his way. The role of a woman is to manage what the man brought to the house. Thank you. No matter how much a woman is earning, a man should not depend on that. Do you understand my point?
Yeah, that's it. The situation whereby the woman decided to bring the money.
He decided
to bring the money
that
every
does
month.
Not, that does not stop
and
you.
Some months he didn't bring. Can the man...
Excuse me. May God raise you up as a man. You are the heir. May God make you... May you enter into the realm of that leadership forever. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm just telling you the scripture or something. He said, if a man provide not for his house, a man, he didn't say if a woman. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, let's read. Thank you. I know some people hearing this, they say, what kind of this is this? But that is it. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith, and is worse than an unbeliever. It is the role of a man. No matter the amount of money that your wife has, my role, I must play it.
Thank you, sir. My husband beats me every day. What should be my prayer point?
That God should arrest your husband. That your husband will receive the nature. You know, one thing with all this beating or no beating, how is the character of the woman? Did the woman play a role where? Your husband say one, you say ten. You know, I said something earlier and I'll say it again. I will used to say it there. When a man pick another man's bone, he has carried misfit. When Adam saw Eve, he said, this is the bone of my bones. And when you mismarry, honestly speaking, misfit. A rampant, enter into square distance. Now, I'll have that. So just pray that God should touch him. And when next you want to beat you, run away. Before he kill you. Thank you. Next.
Perhaps this should be the last question.
Ah, thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created heaven and the earth.
Yeah.
But before that creation, where was God?
God is in himself.
And secondly, the Bible says, when we pray, we should have faith and be patient. How long should we be patient waiting for the answers to our prayers?
Is there anywhere in the Bible like that? I don't see anything like that. You see, after we have done the will of God, we have need of patience. Abi? That's what I read. But what Jesus taught about prayer is that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. It's as simple as that. And if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So the prayer that you pray depends on what kind of prayer you bring. When you pray on a particular issue and it's according to the will of God, the answer must surely come. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. A question just came from online. Sorry, we have said the last one, but you might just attend to this. That my husband is in the ministry. Will it be proper for the wife to be in business?
Yes.
Because she has passion for business.
Yes. You see, did God call the both husband and wife into ministry? Is it not the husband that God called? It's possible. You should go ahead with that business if you have passion for that.
Okay, sir.
But if she went, haven't known that there is concentration at home, how can she balance home and business and the ministry?
Oh,
the woman.
You said the husband.
Yes, the husband is in the ministry.
Yes.
And she has passion for
business.
And the marriage says both of them should go together. And now she's separating.
No, she's not separating. They are living in the same place. They are living in the same place, the same house. Abi?
Yes.
Uh-huh. It's just the work that is different. She goes to business, the husband goes to ministry. And there must be an agreement between them. This business, you must come back around 4 or 3, so for hour. You must be at home, Abi? Is that not so? Yes, it's all about agreement.
And then a follow-up question to this, sir. He's in the ministry,
yeah.
And she's a civil servant.
Yeah.
And he says, for his ministry to work,
yeah,
she should resign.
If a civil servant,
she is a civil servant.
She is a civil servant.
Yes.
And she's in the ministry.
He is in the ministry.
Okay. The husband is a ministry.
Yes, sir.
The wife is a civil servant.
Yes, sir.
And he said the husband should. The wife should resign.
Yes, sir.
To join the husband.
Yes, sir.
If there's agreement between the husband, what God has joined together, let no man put us under. They should go by what they agree.
No, it's a question somebody was asking sometimes ago, but that she has no mind to resign.
If she has no mind to resign, she should continue her work.
And the house scattered.
The house cannot scatter. Excuse me. Husband is called into ministry. The wife is a civil servant. Now, the husband that is called into ministry, maybe preaching ministry, did he preach from morning to night? Maybe the husband to go to the office to keep ministry office. Abi? It's only maybe twice or three times in a week they meet. Maybe I guess 2 hours in a meeting. And the government works today, or civil servant today, by 4 they close. I don't see any. Because if you say you must resign, and you still have passion for it, trouble will come. You should settle the matter amicably. You get the point I'm raising. That's it.
Thank you, sir. And hopefully, finally, how do I be convinced within me that there is presence of the Holy Spirit?
You don't need any conviction, you know. It's there. Because the Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's there. You don't need any conviction, just accept what the Bible says. Know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 15. This is what he said. Just accept what God said. The day you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior is there. Know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God liveth in you? You must know. You don't need any conviction, just know it's like that. I said, just thanking Holy Spirit, thank you for dwelling in me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, be conscious of it. That's all.
Thank you very much.
That's all.
Yes, sir.
In the name of the Lord Jesus, we bless you for this wonderful meeting. Let your name continue to be glorified. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's put our hands. We trust that you have been blessed by this message.
For more of our messages, visit our website www.thequeen.org.ng
or call the following numbers for more inquiries:
081-3553-7845,
080-6061-8421,
070-6227-0070,
081-3291-4775. Jesus is Lord.